God, I believe that in your light we do see light, so we pray that you would shed your light. Reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the story from John's Gospel, the first of Jesus' miracles. I love it for its abundance, for its surprise factor, for the drama, for the secrecy of the sign, and the fact that it was about glorifying Jesus, and then further to that, the disciples put their trust in him. And so you see how these signs work, signs of the kingdom. They're not just for that moment, but for to glorify Jesus, and that people would encounter Jesus. Jesus would be revealed to them, and they would put their trust or faith in him. And so, broadly speaking, this first of Jesus' signs was one of the gifts, one of the services, one of the activities of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in consort, in perfect harmony, to work this work of transformation, this reestablishment of shalom, which is now, but it's not yet. We groan in the midst of it, waiting for that day when shalom will be restored. I believe that, broadly speaking, once again, the sign here in the gospel is about new wine. The water that had been changed into wine. How much newer can you get? It's about new wine. And it's about new wineskins. Jesus says that if you put new wine into old wineskins, the old wineskins will burst because of the fermenting that goes on and the interaction. And so you need new wine. You need new wineskins for new wine. And I believe that the signs of the kingdom are going on sort of signal, on display, to say there needs to be... Let it be known there's new wine. And then the response is, how can we then have new wineskins for this new work of God? The abundance of God is in the first reading from Isaiah and also in the psalm. It's a beautiful meditation. If you're feeling like you're in a lean place, well, what about taking a drink from the river of delights? What a beautiful picture. The river of delight, God's river. From the abundance of God's household, we're invited to feast. As we draw near, we make that real and manifest through the Eucharist. It's a small meal, but we pray that it would bring that deep satisfaction. And so this richness, this abundance of God and God's resources, God's love and faithfulness, they have spatial dimensions. They reach to the clouds. The justice of God is profound. It goes down to the depths. And his righteousness is like the majestic mountains. And we're to find our home in that new reality, this new manifestation of the Spirit, this moving forward in the signs of the kingdom, bringing about God's shalom. And God has plan A, which is God's church, to manifest this glory through our everyday lives. Men and women, boys and girls, manifesting the glory of God, giving glory to Jesus in our lives by our words and actions, and that others would put their trust in him. That God would manifest God's glory in the classroom, in the workplace, in neighborhood groups, out in the street, in the garden, at church, wherever you are. I believe that Paul's focus on the spiritual gifts is all about this. It's all about signs of the kingdom and bringing glory to Jesus. And so for St. Cuthbert, there's 2 weeks of teaching here, even in the one section, but we're going to have 1 Corinthians 12 for 2 weeks, this week and next week. So if you'd like to spend the time meditating on that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, on the gifts of the Spirit, and see what we might discern as we're in a time, I believe, first of all, approaching our vestry when we give account for priorities that we stated at last year's vestry, and the parish council has been faithfully pursuing, and then giving account to the body, the vestry, as to what we've been up to. And many of you know what we've been up to, but it's that accountability, believing that we have been moving forward in God's mission, God's desire. And if we have that wrong, well, we'll make adjustments. And as a vestry, we'll seek God's favor, we'll seek God's glory, and move forward. And so what is it in this reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we could learn to equip us to move forward in this visioning, this understanding God's vision for the church and for the world? Paul talks, he opens in verse 1, chapter 12, by saying, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Paul uses this phrase three times in the New Testament in his letters to the churches. Don't be ignorant. I want you to be informed. Don't be uninformed. And so, as Christians, we're to learn, to grow, to be open through Bible study, through prayer, through the resources we make available in and through the church. And if we're falling down somewhere, we need to hear it. Because Christians need to be informed. What are the three things? First is God's plan for Israel. Paul says he does not want believers in Jesus to be uninformed of God's plan for Israel. Secondly, he does not want people to be uninformed about the spiritual gifts. And so we're focusing for 2 weeks in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the third thing, the third phrase that Paul uses is he doesn't want Christians, believers, to be uninformed about the second coming of Christ. He wants us to be conversant about that and what it means to have eternal life. So this eternal dimension of life. Don't be uninformed. Interesting if we did a little poll where we would find where we're lacking and perhaps where we need to address in our teaching. So today and next week, it's the spiritual gifts. Paul talks, then he goes into this, no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And I just have struggled with this. Like, what on earth does that mean? And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. It's like, well, okay, like, what does that mean? But I think, again, broadly speaking, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the spiritual gifts and the movement of the Spirit, you know, basically boiling it down, it says, does this promote Jesus? And if not, it needs to be called into question whether, in fact, this is the Spirit of God or just someone's best idea. And again, we're not always going to get it right, which shouldn't be a problem. Making mistakes should never be a problem. But our pursuit is to discern the wisdom of God. Our pursuit is to discern God's vision, and God has a church to fulfill that vision. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. In my understanding, it's the church. In all of our imperfection, God, in his abundance, has chosen us. He's given us a new name. He puts on our heads the crown of glory as he speaks about Israel. God seems to be very enthused about this relationship, this new covenant in the blood of Christ. God is honoring his covenant partner. And sometimes the covenant partner is a bit of a drag. Do you know what that's like? You should ask Joanne, because she's my covenant partner and I'm hers. Sometimes I am a drag. I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm grumpy, and I'm just a drag. I'm no fun to be with, all right? Does that ring a bell to anyone? We won't name names or point fingers. I'm just pointing to myself, right? Sometimes the covenant partner is not a lot of fun to be around. And that's true also with God and Israel. And yet he says, you will be my royal diadem. You will be my crown. I'm just excited about you. No longer will you be called desolate or forsaken, but you're going to be called, get ready for this, my delight is in her. Do we even believe that? That God's delight is in us? Or when you give, God gives you grace when your partner's not the most delightful. When you can say, I delight in you, I love you. Even in spite of sort of the lack of fun. I delight in you. That's God's intent. This God who has abundance in his household, wants us to drink from the river of delights, has dealt with our past, has given us a new name. What else do we need to move forward? We are ready, are we not? And I think we need to coordinate this movement that we aren't off in all directions at the same time. So what does it mean to move forward, especially in light of just not even a month out from our annual vestry meeting? Because let's anchor it in you know, our reality as we discern God's future in us, through us, and for us. We've stated our priorities at our last vestry meeting, and some of it was a carryover from the year prior. It's youth and young adult ministry. Did you know that was our priority? The youth group's up and running. They've had 12 meetings, I think 13 meetings. We've had some review, some prayer, some support, some discernment. Four of the leaders went away, and I went with them to a day-long workshop yesterday on sustainable youth ministry. We'll see a little photo a little later. We went there to learn, to network with others, because it's a priority. Stewardship is our second stated priority, both of finances and of volunteers. Stewardship. Giving the gift, offering the gift that God's given us as good stewards. Out of our love for God, it affects our entire lives. Thirdly, we've been looking at our buildings, and I would say grounds as well, including the rectory, and there's been a lot of work done in that area. And generally, the St. Cuthbert community. I love it the way the social committee kind of thinks up a new way to gather at a time of year when, you know, the sun's not shining that much and maybe it would be good to get together. And so there were some new ventures, generally speaking. Those are four stated priorities, and the parish council will be giving account for what we've been up to. Of course, engaging with you, but how we have been faithfully moving out in those priorities, stated priorities. We might tweak them this time around. We'll see. Some of the questions we pose as a leadership team when opportunities arise, and the primary one coming out of today is, does it promote Jesus? And I would say God's church. To say, does it promote St. Cuthbert, I think is right. Of course, as we move in humility and live in humility, but God's church is the body of Christ, and so does it promote Jesus? Is it in keeping with our mission statement? And we've just taken it off our bulletin for just a short while for reasons I've explained. It'll be back on. Is it life-giving? Is this opportunity that comes before us life-giving? Does it give life to others? Does it extend the kingdom, this abundance? And is it sustainable? We might start strong, but does it appear that we could sustain this over time? Or is it a one-off? These are some of the questions we ask as we gather, discern, and do our work as your parish council. Paul says, with regard to the gifts, that there are a diversity of gifts in the same Spirit. Paul does this repetitive back and forth. It's a good teaching method. Listen to it. There are varieties of gifts or diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a diversity of services, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Are we together on that? Sometimes diversity challenges me because you do something in a way that I never would never even think of doing. And so I can go, huh. Or as soon as you're finished, I'll go and do it differently. Have you ever done that? Or been tempted to do that? So diversity is not easy, but we know that diversity strengthens a community. Whether it's an ecosystem, whether it's a pond, whether it's an ocean, whether it's a river, diversity is strength. And so Paul is saying that you know, Jesus served that community, that wedding at Cana of Galilee, right? It was for the common good. It was a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Many benefited from it. Then he goes on, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus and filled with the Spirit, you have been given a manifestation of the Spirit. And so if you don't know what that is, I would like you to ask, well, what is that in my life? And you might ask a trusted friend, how do you see God's gifts being manifest in me? Which is a bit of an awkward question, but I think it's a really important question. And it's a humble place to come from. How are God's gifts being manifest in me? What are my natural gifts and abilities? How do I share those? And are there some grace gifts that God is growing in me? Often it's in the level of desire, a desire outward to help. How is God at work in that? To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To one is the utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit. To another, faith. I'll never forget a woman who came into the fellowship, another church I served. She had had a string of reproductive griefs and losses. And she said she had no faith in this area. She was so crestfallen, so grieving this string of losses, trying to get pregnant, and they had no children. And God gave someone in the fellowship a gift of faith, who believed for this couple. And so I went to her and I said, would it be okay if a group got together and prayed for you that you could conceive and have a child? And she said, yes, that would be all right. Don't expect me to be part of that group, she said. I said, that's fine. And so this gift of faith was then nurtured. I can't tell you the joy at baptizing their first child, and then the joy of baptizing their second child. Someone who came forward and said, I believe that she will conceive. That, at that point, was the gift of faith. I love it. To another, by the same Spirit, gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And remember, the church in Corinth, the tongue speakers thought they were the best. They thought they were the A-team and looked down on people who did not speak in tongues. And so Paul addresses them too. And notice what he says after. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Paul says, I would rather have three words in an intelligible language than 1,000 in tongues, because it's for the common good. And so Paul says, the gift of interpretation is a manifestation of the Spirit. Interpreting the tongue shared for the common good. Now, all of these are activated by one and the same Spirit. Did we get that point? Variety of gifts, diversity of gifts, one Spirit, one God, one Lord. And so my hope would be that we could express ministry and life here in such a variety of ways, but to coordinate it. And that's, I think, largely the role of parish council. And communication throughout the church. It's administration. It's a number of things. But I'm interested in this first quarter of this year, calendar year, to see how God is indicating how we are to move forward. And those connections that are made that are, we kind of go, huh, what do you know? It's been so interesting this last year on parish council to see how God has used the gifts manifest in individuals' lives that they bring very generously to our church. Who knew that someone would play such a role at this particular time in the life of the church? And so it's a joy to witness that. Gifts of service, gifts of different activities, signs of the kingdom. These are all energized by the one and same Spirit. I was talking to someone this last week. I asked them how they're doing. They work shift work. And they said, I'm feeling just a little tired. I said, how have you been sleeping? Well, not so well. I worked all night. I was sleeping during the day. And they have a large dog. I said, funny you should ask. And he pulled out a little battery. It was a size that is just odd. I've never seen this size battery before. It wasn't one of the little button batteries. It was kind of, it wasn't a double A or a triple A. It was something else. And he said, I haven't been able to find these. And the battery was for the dog's collar, which was a bark suppressor. And when the bark suppressor was activated, energized, my friend got some sleep. But it had gone dead, and the dog was barking at everything, right? And this person couldn't sleep. So they were very interested in finding this battery that would energize the collar so that the dog wouldn't bark. How about you? Is there anything that you have sort of focused on and been frustrated with because you went to use it and the battery's dead? Or the power was out, right? Or maybe you woke up this morning and said, I could use some energy. I could be energized. And so that's it. That's the Spirit giving this expression, this energization to this variety of gifts. That's what I understand the spiritual life to be. As well as praise and devotion, clearly that's born of the Spirit as well. So globally, can we say, does it promote Jesus? Does what we do at St. Cuthbert promote Jesus? Is it good news? Does it serve the last and the least and the lost? Does it serve the vulnerable, the most vulnerable among us? Does it life-giving? Is it sustainable? Are we able to keep this up? Do we have the volunteers to move this thing forward? And there are occasions when we let things die. They've lived their life. And sometimes that's the most difficult. Is it in keeping with our mission statement? Now, this new wine in new wineskins, I find that some of the old wineskins that are the hardest to let go of are the ones of past successes. Now, when the scripture says, I'm going to give you a new name, your old name's desolate, I'd ditch that in a second, wouldn't you? Who wants the name desolate? But if I had a past success, I might want to remind you of that. I might want to show you the trophy at home. I might want to show you this scrapbook and just glory in that past success. The fact that I was 16 when it happened, like, I don't know, I still get a little excitement out of it. Let's leave those behind, shall we? And move forward. Because I think the new wine is just the most exciting thing. And God's asking us for new wineskins as a sign of the kingdom of this new covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll be moving forward in that this coming Sunday as well, the 27th. Let's consider it as we prepare for our annual vestry meeting, and I hope you'll make that a priority. It's after church on February the 24th, the last Sunday of the month.